Look in Exodus chapter 33 and look in verse 16. And the Bible said, "For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." And the Lord said unto Moses, "I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." What a wonderful statement right there, that the Lord knows us by name. And he said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." Moses has already asked, "Lord, let us, if we found grace in your sight, let us know that." And he said, "If not, don't you go with us. Don't send us any further if you're not going to go with us." And so he gets down here, and the next thing Moses asked, he said, "Lord, show me thy glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." And he said, "Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass when my glory passeth by that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." You be seated today. As I look at this passage of Scripture, I'm always reminded that the child of God is hid in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad today that he is the cliff of that rock. You know, that cliff is a place, that jagged place that's been formed there out in the mountains. And the Bible said in Colossians chapter 3, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory." I love verse 3 that says, "We're dead, but our life is hid with Christ in God." I'm glad today, friend, that when God sees me, he sees his precious son for the one that died for us. I'm glad that he had an opening made yonder at Calvary. Listen, not only did they pierce his hands and pierce his feet, but that Roman soldier took that spear and pierced his side, and out of it came forth blood and water. And boy, I'm telling you, talking about a crevice made where we can be healed. I am that in Christ today. Listen, by way of introduction, he said, "It's a place by me." Do you realize that when Christ died and when he saved us and reconciled us and that to the Father, that friend, that he brought us and made us close. I am that to the Father. Ain't you glad today that you can have peace? I am that with God. Hey, not only the peace of God, but peace with God today because of the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, "I'll put you in a place that's close to me." Listen, I'm glad when I got saved, that friend, that I got close, and that to him. He said, "I'll do what?" He said, "There is a place by me." Who's by him today? Who is by the Heavenly Father? Why, the Heavenly Son is by the Heavenly Father. What was it Paul said? "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ. I live in me in the life that I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." I'm glad that I'm in him today and he's in me. Ain't that a wonderful thought? It is a wonderful thought in me today. Amen. Then he said this real quick. Now listen, I'm in the introduction. He said, what? He said, there's a place by me. I'm glad that I'm, hey, if you're far from God and you're saved, you can draw nigh to him and he'll draw nigh to you today. Amen. The book of James said. He said, well, why don't he draw nigh to me? That ain't the rule. The Bible said if you'll draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. Oh, cleanse your hands, you sinners, is what he said. He said, I'll put you in a place by me. I'm glad I'm near him today, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Listen, do you realize that, listen, if you're saved today, you're founded, and that upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said in the book of Ephesians 2, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. I've got something and that to stand on today. Boy, I'm standing firm on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, the Bible said that he had this foundation that he knoweth those that are his today. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm glad he knows me just as those ladies sung about he didn't leave me. The way that he found, hey, when he found me, he made a difference in me because I'm his today. Amen. Amen. Thank God to be saved. Praise the Lord. He said that he put us on a rock, and that rock is the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2 said, wherefore, also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. I thought about Luke chapter 20 as I studied this. I thought about the Bible talks about over there in Luke chapter 20, how that if we'll come to that rock and fall on that rock, that we'll be broken. But listen, if that rock falls on us, it'll grind us to pieces. And that's the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And then he said this right here in verse 22, that it shall come to pass when my glory passeth by, that I'll put thee in the cliff of the rock. I'm glad I'm hid in him today. I'm glad to be hid in the Lord Jesus Christ today. But I want you to look at something right here. You know, it's not my life that God sees. I'm hid in Christ today. And he is the cliff of the rock, if you'd let me say that today. He is the cliff of the rock. But I want to look at this, having a different thought, if we would today. I want to think about this. I want to preach on being hid in him. Being hid in him in the midst of trouble. And Moses is asking the Lord, said, Lord, are you going to go with us? Will you make your presence known? And the Lord said, I'll do that. And when Moses says, Lord, have we found grace in your sight? And the Lord said, I'll give grace to who I'll give grace to, and mercy who I'll give mercy to. And yeah, you found grace in my sight. And Moses says, Lord, can I see your glory? Can I ask you how many times have we just asked the Lord, say, Lord, I need you to do this, I need you to do this, and I need you to do this. If you go back and you look in this chapter, you'll find out that the Lord is actually rebuking the nation of Israel. First, he tells them to go into the promised land. And then he says, but Moses, he said, they're a stiff-necked people. He said, they're not going to want to do what you're going to want them to. But he said, they need to come and meet with me. Hey, I'm going to tell you, when you finally have that meeting and that with the Lord, it'll make all the difference in your life. And you'll understand what I'm talking about. But I want to preach having a thought of being hid in him in the midst of trouble. You go back and you look at what he said right here in this passage of Scripture in verse 21. And he said, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. When I'm needing to be hid in him in the midst of trouble, friend, I'm glad. He said, it's a place by me. It's a close place. And I was thinking last night as I was looking over this scripture here, I knew that my wife, I was in the other rooms. I was sitting in my study in there. I could hear her moving around. I could hear her doing things. But there's just something about having her in the house. I know she's there. Man, I just know she's there. You say, well, that's crazy. Hey, try to do it when somebody ain't there. And you know that presence is not in your home. Hey, listen, today I believe he's telling Moses right here, I'm going to put you in a place that's close to me, Moses, that you can feel me. Listen, I love to feel the Lord in the midst of trouble. Hey, it's one thing to feel him when everything's going right and you feel like shouting the house down and you feel like praising him. But it's another when he comes by when your world's turned upside down and he just picks you up and sets you near unto him. He said, I'm going to put you in a place where you can feel me and be close to me. I'm going to put you in a place, Moses, out of where you can see me. Now, Moses, you ain't going to be able to see my front side, but I'm going to take that hand and cover you up. I'll deal with that here in a minute. And when I come by, I'll take it away and you can see my hinder part. It's not only a place that you can feel. Hey, how many of you have been to the place where you couldn't feel God? We've been talking about that in Sunday school over there in the young adult Sunday school class. Oh, we've been talking about that. Job got in such a state that he didn't know what was going on. Didn't know nothing. Ain't that right? That right? Amen. Ain't that right? Yeah. He got in such, that's right, ain't it? Amen. He got in such a way that, listen, he even said, we looked at it today, and I think I mentioned it last week, he even said, if I prayed and asked God to answer, and God moved, I still wouldn't believe it's him. I still wouldn't believe God done it. Now tell me that Job's faith wasn't getting weak. And listen, there's going to be times that you're not going to be able to feel God. But you're just going to have to remember that he's there. You're just going to have to remember that scripture that I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You'll just have to remember that scripture that we're in him and he's in us. John 15, I taught that Thursday morning on John chapter 15. Abide in me and I in you. Listen, to know that he's there. But he says you can feel me. I love to feel the presence of the Lord when he comes by and squeezes my heart and turns it over. And I know that he come by. Oh, now, I don't run on feelings, but I sure am glad that we got a God that we can feel. Amen. I wouldn't want to serve an old dead God that, listen, that we couldn't feel. Listen, your marriage don't work that way, does it? Listen, I enjoy spending time with my wife. Hey, it stirs my heart to do that sometimes. You say, why sometimes? Because sometimes she don't want to be close. Anyway, let me move on. He said, there's a place close to me. So not far away. I'm glad hey, the Bible said that he's a God near. He's not a God that's far away. Well, he gets over there and Moses, he said, I'm going to put you in a place by me. You can see me. You can see me, Moses, when I come by. The psalmist said in Psalms 31, he said, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. What did he say? Didn't say he'd hide him from the secrets of his presence, but he said, I'll hide them in the secret of thy presence. We're going to get before God and he is going to hide us. Well, I'm telling you, from the pride of man, thou shalt keep them secretly, looky there, in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Listen, it's a place that God picked out. He said, there's a place by me. Moses, you wanted to see my glory. Now, I want you to understand something. I want you to understand something. You get to asking to see God's glory, and there ain't no telling what you might have to go through to see God's glory. It's kind of like asking for patience. Tribulation worketh patience. Now listen, sometimes God lets us see his glory and that without any trouble, without any tribulation, without anything going wrong. Hey, but I'm telling you, friend, to see God move and to see God work, sometimes it's work on our part. Sometimes it's us moving first. Sometimes it's us struggling. Sometimes it's us suffering before we'll ever see the glory of God. Years ago, when I first came down here, before the church really ever cranked up. Me and Brother Bud Moses used to come in here on Saturday morning about 8:30, 9 o'clock every Saturday and gather around the old mourner's bench and we'd pray. What would we pray for? For God to move. For God to help our church. For God to do some things. Do you realize it took time and it took work on our part to try to get God to move? What do you mean, timer? Hey, I'd get out of bed early on Saturday morning. I was working a public job then. I'd get up early on Saturday. My wife says, "Why don't you do that anymore?" Now, she meant that so that I could go on out of the house. I know what she means. But, you know, she presents a good question. Why don't I do that anymore? Come and gather up around the altar and just pray for the church and the people of the church and say, "God, we want to see you move. We want to see you do great things." Hey, listen, sometimes to see those things happen, it takes work on our part to get there. So here Moses says, "God, I'd like to see your glory. I'd like to see your glory." God said, I've picked out a place for you, Moses, and it's right here by me. Lord, we need your help here. It's a place that he put us, not only and that to be close to him and to be near to him, but it's a place where he give us a foundation, a place to stand, wasn't it? Look what he said. There's a place by me. You know, God's got a place for you. Got a place for you. He said, "And thou shalt stand upon a rock." Moses, you ain't going to go sit. You ain't going to go slide all over the rock. You ain't going to wonder if that thing's going to tilt back and forward and if you're going to fall out. He said, "Moses, I'm going to put you in a place by me and you're going to stand there." Well, what's so important about that? Let me say, how many of you, if you watch TV, how many of you ever watched them police shows where they get their witness and they put them up somewhere and hide them and that witness don't want them to leave because they're afraid of being by themselves, but the police says, "No, we've got to go look for the bad man." All right, you following me? You know, God don't do that. God said, "I put you in a place close to me and I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to be right here the whole time." So how does God fight our battle if he's there near us? Well, he knows how, you see. Listen, Psalms 27, he said, "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up on a rock." He said, not only is he going to hide me, but listen, I think David knew something about what Moses went through right here. He said, "Look, there's a place by God, in God, in the cleft of the rock, and he's going to place you there and let you stand on a solid foundation." Jude 24 said, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." Hey, when trouble comes, so does falling sometimes. If you ain't careful, you'll end up falling in the midst of trouble. You'll end up quitting in the midst of trouble. You'll end up wanting to give up in the midst of trouble. Listen, when the fight and the battle comes on and it rages in your life and turmoil, day in and day out, you'll want to throw your hands up and say, "Why would I bother?" Ever been there? I've been there. So you just get up and you get like Jeremiah, and there's a fire that's burning. His word doth burn in me like a fire. He said, "You'll stand." I like having a sure foundation. I'm his and he's mine. I don't have to worry about him forsaking me. I don't have to worry about him giving up on me. I don't have to worry about him leaving me. I don't have to worry about, I'm his and he's mine. Hey, I come to him one Sunday night and asked him to save me. I became his. I was birthed into the family of God and he cares for me. Amen. If you're saved, he cares for you. If you're unsaved, he cares for you today and wants to save you so bad. He does. So Moses, you've got a place to stand. Moses, listen. You reckon when God's glory come by that rock shook? Listen, God's glory was coming by. I often wonder about, I'm getting a little ahead of myself right here, but when God came by and he had Moses in the cliff of the rock over there, I kind of wonder, and you say, well, nobody can look on God's face. I understand that, but I kind of wonder off out in the distance, maybe miles away, if somebody has seen the lightning and the cloud and all that surrounded where Moses was and said, hey, I wonder what's going on over there. I mean, think about this stuff. I mean, I could be up at my mom and dad's, and they live about, we live about 10 minutes from there, but we live, mom and daddy, they live about 15, maybe 20 minutes from Watts Bar over there, and coming home when we leave their house in the nighttime and head home to, listen, you can see the lights just shining over there at the lake. What few lights are over there? You can see them shine. You can turn from our house and look back out toward the city of Athens and you can see all the lights, just all the lights that are out there. Imagine about the glory of God. Now I'm going somewhere with that, so don't let me lose you, okay? I'm going somewhere because I want you to understand this. This is where it got good for me, okay? Listen, Moses, I'm going to put you in a place by me because I care for you. Moses, I'm going to put you in a place by me that's close to me that I can talk to you. Moses, I'm going to put you in a place by me that's close to me where you can feel me. But Moses, I'm going to put you in a place to where you can stand and you don't have to worry. You know, as long as you're standing, you don't have to worry, do you? Think about that for just a second. You've got a foundation. But when something's standing, it's got a sure foundation. Hey, you don't have to worry about it today. Moses, you ain't going to have to worry. Even when times get tough, we've got a sure foundation in him. But verse 22, he said, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I'll put thee in the cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Now I want you to think for just a second. Listen, that cliff of the rock is the crevice that's made in the mountain. And the Lord said, Moses, I'm going to set you up here in the cliff of the rock. I'm going to put you right there. You'll be surrounded and there'll be opening on the front side. So Moses, I'm going to set you right here. I'm going to set you on a rock and put you up in the cliff of it. And when I come by, I'm going to put my hand on you.
Amen.
Now I know in John 10, we've seen this many times, where he said that we're in the hands of the Father and that we're in his hand. And he said, I and my Father are one. You cannot get out of his hands. You cannot jump out. You cannot be pulled out. You cannot be blown out. You cannot be shook out. Hey friend, you cannot come out of the hand of God. I want you there. But he said, I put you in the cliff of the rock. Now think about this for just a second. To get him in the cliff of the rock, and I didn't see this till early this morning while I was looking over this. As I was, look, about 9 o'clock, I was closing my Bible, and the Lord just kind of gave us some things there as I was shutting the Bible. You know, for Moses to get to the cliff of the rock, the Lord had to elevate him, didn't he? Think about that for just a second now. Think about that. God had to elevate him. I just don't think it was a cliff of the rock that was on the bottom. I believe the Lord picked him up and set him in the cliff of the rock. You may not believe that, but that's the way the preacher sees it in his mind. And he said, it shall come to pass that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock. And he picks him up and he sets him in there. God had to elevate him. You know, in the midst of trouble, when everything else is going wrong, you're wondering about things. You know what? If you'll just seek God's glory, what was it? He said, seek my righteousness. He said, all these things shall be added unto you. Listen, if we'll seek his glory, you know what will happen? He'll be the one that ends up elevating us. What, ain't that right? He'll pick us up and elevate us and put us up here. Now think about this for just a second. Some of you are so low this morning that you need to be elevated. You need to be lifted up. And God does those things. Amen? I can't do that. You can't do it. Hey, listen, we can't pick ourselves up by our own bootstraps and our own bootlaces, but I'm glad there's a God in heaven that will elevate us and lift us up. Now get this in your mind for just a second. Get this in your mind. I want you to think about what he said. He said, Moses, here we go. He said, I'm going to lift you up. And he said, I'm going to cover you when I come by. Now God's hand has got him covered. You reckon it was dark in there? Lord, can I see your glory? Reckon it was dark in there? I mean, God's got a big old hand, don't he? Well, we talked about that in Sunday school today too. He measured the span of the heavens by the span. He measured the heavens by the span of his hand and measured out all the waters that we have in the hollow of his hand. That's an awful big hand, ain't it? It's an awful big hand. Think about this. You said, preacher, you're talking about like God really done this. That's, I believe God really done this. I believe God reached down on the earth and picked Moses up and set him in the cliff of the rock, and God done exactly what he said. Amen. And so God takes his hand. Ain't it amazing that God dwells with man? Think about that for just a second. That the God of heaven wanted to dwell with man so much that he come down here to be just like us. Let me stop that for just a second. Hey, Jesus wanted to save man so much that he was willing to leave heaven, the glory of the Father that Moses is fixing to see, that he's willing to leave heaven to come down here and be with us. That's how much Jesus loved you and was willing to die for you. Boy, I'm glad he loved me enough to come. Boy, I get reminded every now and again. Boy, that's why I encourage these mom and daddies to bring them little ones to Sunday school. Man, one of the first verses we ever learned was John 3:16. I mean, for y'all don't know, I grew up in church, been in church all my life. There's never been a time that I've been out of church. There's been times I was lost. I mean, I was lost for 14 years until I listened, made a profession when I was young. But listen, one faithful Sunday night, God come by where I was. Spoke to my heart. But here's Moses. Lord, would you just let me see your glory? Moses, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you and I'm going to put you up on the cliff of the rock and I'm going to have to put my hand over you. I believe it probably got dark in that cliff. I'm going to tell you, sometimes it gets dark in serving him. Even though God has said he'd never leave us nor forsake us, say, Lord, you said you're going to put your hand up here and cover me. What the Lord was doing was shielding Moses. You say, well, he was shielding him from his glory, and I understand that because God is so great and so mighty, and his glory was so great and is so great that man could not look upon him. I understand that. But as I looked at this, I thought about, as the Lord covered up Moses and he went by. You remember what I asked you a few minutes ago? You reckon people off in the distance heard the thunder, seen this, the mountain had the smoke on it, lightning was going on, and they seen God off in the distance, maybe moving by the cliff of the rock. And they said to themselves, reckon. Hey, somebody might have said, that's the glory of God over there. What are you trying to get to, friend? What are you trying to get to, preacher? I'm going to tell you that sometimes God's got us in the cliff of the rock. And this may not make sense to you, boy, it helped me. But sometimes he's got us in the cliff of the rock. And it's dark. And it's quiet. And it's silent. But you know what? Everybody else is seeing. All we're seeing is darkness. Now stay with me. But when everybody else looks at us and sees us and knows that we're up in the cliff of the rock, they see the glory of God on top of us. How was he keeping him in there? Well, that same hand that was going to come by wasn't nothing but the glory of God holding him up there. Right?
Preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you, when you think that you're in your darkest time in serving God, that's when God's glory is probably going to be revealed the most in you. Go read 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul wanted that thorn to be removed, and come to find out that's when he was the strongest, is when he was the weakest. That's when God's glory could shine the most in his life. That was when he was in his weakest point. When God was the quietest, and God was no, didn't see. Preacher, he said he was going to put him up there. I know. And here he comes. You say in God's left hand? I don't know. Maybe he's right handed. I don't know. We'll start on this side. His right hand's great. I know that. I know who's seated at the right hand. Amen. So here he comes by. Everybody else could see God's glory if there was anybody else around. Off in the distance, because I know they couldn't be up close. I understand that. I understand the doctrinal issue and all that. Don't get me wrong, okay? He had him hid as he come by. But you know what the Lord done? It may be dark in there, and it may be quiet, but God's give you a place to stand. And you know what's going to happen just on the other side of that darkness and that quietness? God's glory is going to be revealed. Because he said, Moses, when I come by, I'm going to put my hand on the cleft of the rock. And as I come by, I'm going to take my hand off. And he said, you'll be able to see my hinder parts. We may not be able to see the glory of God right as it passes by. But you know what? By just in a little while, once it lightens up, and it's not dark and it's not quiet anymore, we'll peek out from the cliff of the rock and we'll see the glory of God. Amen. Where God had come by. I don't think Moses could have mistaken it. It's in our hardest trials and in our hardest times when God's glory will shine the most in us and for us. I look back. I love to see His glory. I do. I love to see. I love it when God moves and God works and does things that is beyond my imagination. Has God ever done things like that for you? He may be doing that for you right now. You say, preacher, I sure don't like it being dark and quiet. Hey, listen, as long as you know you're in the cleft of the rock, that's all you need to know. He's got you on a solid footing. He's got you somewhere that's close to Him, where you can feel Him, even though it may be quiet and it may be dark in the cleft of that rock. You know that He's there. You know that He's there. I want you to look what happened right here. Verse 23, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Moses got to see God's glory at the end of it. He had to be elevated in that end of the rock. God done the elevation. He had to be placed in a place that, yes, he knew where he was and he knew what was going on. God told him. But he elevated him and put him in darkness and quietness. But it was a place by God and near God. Listen, I want you to remember this. Even though it may be dark and quiet, you just remember if you're living for Him, you're near Him and He's near you. Don't ever forget that. I told you that story about that young Indian that they took out there, that boy that they gave the pocket knife to, what I'd call a pocket knife. And they drew a circle and they told him not to get outside that circle. And he was becoming a man. I don't know how old he was, 9 or 10 years old, 11 years old. And they gave him that circle to stand in. And as the sun began to set and the coyotes began to howl and things that go bumping the nights out there, it's got dark. And he finally, he stands there as long as he can until he's wore out with exhaustion, and he lays down and he cries himself to sleep holding that pocket knife in his hand.
But you know, when morning broke,
seen this Wednesday night, didn't we? Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. When morning broke, just a few feet off over in the darkness was standing his daddy. He couldn't see him, but boy, his daddy knew where that boy was. Exhausted and wore out in that circle, holding that little pocket knife. Well, that daddy wasn't going to let nothing happen to him. You may feel like you're standing in a circle with a little pocket knife, just barely getting by. I want you to know something today. I want you to know something. Your Heavenly Father is so close. Listen, and He's hiding you with His hand today. He's got you seated in the cliff of the rock. Say, preacher, it sure don't feel like it. Listen, standing on the rock. Standing on the rock, something solid. I've got something solid to stand on. Let's bow our heads this morning, if we would. Let's bow our heads. I don't know. I don't know the need this morning. I don't know the need. Listen, we ain't going to sing. Hey, Sister Kathy, could you come and play? Could you come play and sing? We'll do that this morning, if you would. Listen. Listen, I don't know the need. I'll be honest with you. From prior requests it's made on Wednesday nights, I know the struggle of some of you. And being the pastor, I know the struggle of some of you. But I don't know the struggle of everybody in here. And you may say, preacher, all I want to do is be like David over there in the book of Psalms. Be like David in the book of Psalms. Say, Lord, just let me see your glory as I've seen before in the sanctuary. Listen, that may be what you're saying. Lord, I just need to see your glory just shine upon me. I don't think that's asking too much of the Lord, but I want you to know something. And it may take trials and tribulations to get there. Listen, while she gets ready to play, if you need to come pray, I want you to come on. You don't have to wait for her to sing. You don't have to wait for me to quit talking. But boy, if I tell you, if you just feel like you need to come pray, say, preacher, I just feel like I'm sliding all over that rock. I just feel like that I'm just so alone up in the cliff at that rock. If you need to come, she's going to sing. Go ahead, sis, if you're ready.